in chapter 2, Mishnah 13. Chapter 2, Mishnah 13, and we are discussing Rabbi Shimon. And this is Rabbi Shimon ben Netanel. And Rabbi Shimon ben Netanel is warning us and telling us to be very careful in tefillah, in prayer. Havezah here, b'kriyat Shema. Be very careful when you are saying the Shema. Some people don't really realize Shema is the first line we teach children. The first thing we teach a child when they know how to speak. The child says, Daddy, Mommy. We start telling him, Shh, 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 ma, 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 ma. We start teaching him to say Shema. The first letters, the first words on a Jewish child's lips should be Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And Torah Tzivalanu Moshe Morasha Kilat Yaakov. Those two lines should be the first two lines the kids should start saying. So he says, Daddy, can I buy this? Or can I get this? Instead of that, he says, Shema Yisrael. So we have to teach our children Shema Yisrael right from the beginning. And the last line a Jew should say before they die, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And if you can die on the word Echad, that's ideal. Don't know how you're going to program that one. But a person's got to be so used to saying it that it becomes like automatic. That's the whole idea, to make it automatic. The person's dying, they don't, what am I going to do? Automatic, Shema Yisrael. And even if you're not dying. There's a very famous rabbi, Rabbi Huda Fataya. We have one of his books here, a very big Kabbalist. Rabbi Huda Fataya could speak to souls. Souls would come to him. I mean, souls would come to him. And for the tikkun. So he would... It says when a Jew goes walks down the street, we don't really realize, but we are fixing things. If we think Torah thoughts, we're thinking good thoughts. I mean, saying psukim, the person is fixing things along the road. There's souls and the stones and the rocks. People don't realize. So he would say Shema Yisrael when walking down the street. Imagine everywhere you go. I've tried it, the traffic lights, and it works. The traffic lights change very fast. I tried it. So you're stuck in a traffic light in Hanlon Park, which is every day, 50 times a day. I can drive from here to Brooklyn without a single traffic light, come to Hanlon Park, light after light after light. So you have to have patience. What do you do? Say Shema. A Jew has nothing to do, say Shema. The only problem is that you can't repeat the first line over and over again. You have to say the whole Shema, three paragraphs, and then you can repeat it. But if you say the line again and again, it's like saying, I believe in one God, one God, one God, one. It's like, how many gods do you have? So a person's not allowed to say the first line more than once. Unless there's a big break in between. So a person's got to be careful. So it's good to say Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael has 248, quickly, 248 words in it. 248 words in Shema Yisrael, corresponding to the gematria of the word Abraham. Has 248 numbers, Kamatria. The number of numerical value of Abraham is 248. The number of positive mitzvot in the Torah, guess. I just gave you the answer. 248. Okay? So 248 is a very big number in Judaism. 248 is a geometric progression. 2, doubled 4, doubled 8. Yes?
What about the number of limbs?
365, that's limbs. Limbs is 248, 365 sinews. That's very easy to remember. That's 365 negative commandments and 365 days in a solar year. Very easy to remember. 365. We know that 613 mitzvot. 365 is very easy to remember, right? Everyone agreed? 365 negatives. Take away from the 613, 248. 248 positive mitzvot, 248 words in the Shema, which is why when you're alone, you say, Kel Melech Ne'eman. We add those three words. When you're with a minyan, you can say, Hashem Elokechem Emet. We repeat twice to make up the 248 words. When you say those 248 words in the Shema, you're actually bringing holiness into your limbs. So there are 248 limbs. So it's very important. And 248, we said, is the gematria of the word Abraham. Abraham is 248. So it's important to remember, when a person says Shema, every single word should be said right. Say the words right. Say the words properly. Each word adds up to this 248 number. It's very, very powerful. Everything fits in. So number one. Number two is, what do I mean when I say Shema Yisrael? Who am I talking to? Hear, O Israel. Who are you talking to? You're talking to yourself. You're talking to yourself. Why? Because you're saying it. Who are you saying it to? It's not around. Say, Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel. Who are you talking to? I'm talking to myself. I am Israel. I'm talking to myself. Shema Israel is me, Hashem, the creator of the world, Elokeinu. He's not just the creator, he's also my God. What do you mean my God? He's a personal God. God is a personal God, which is means he didn't only create and walk away. A lot of Greeks believed in that. Some people say Einstein believed in that. I don't know why about Einstein. God is a personal God, which means if you need help, you call out to, anyone with me? You call out to Hashem. You need help. I need personal help. So, God is not just a God far away and in the sky and in the heavens and not attached to me. He's attached to me. How's he attached to me? He's Hashem Elokeinu. He's our God. He's your personal God. Can you imagine? We have a personal God. Person in troubles, you pray to God. Person without troubles, you thank God. Everything's going well in your life, mitzvah to thank God. People forget to thank. You know, there's a beautiful story. When I was in Israel, I heard this Israeli story. So there was a guy, he went to one of the tall towers in Tel Aviv. I think it was a Shalom Tower. It's very, very tall. He wants to go on the roof. He wants to see the view from the top of the tower, right? Imagine the view. You can see the whole Mediterranean Sea. You see the whole of Tel Aviv in front of you. So he gets up to the roof, and he finds that there's a trap door on the roof, and the trapdoor was open. So he gets up and climbs onto the roof. And somehow, someone behind him closed the trapdoor, and he's locked up on the roof. He's stuck on the roof. He's locked into the roof. This is, what should I do? Stuck on the roof. So he has a very important meeting in that building. And he had no cell phone. He's an important meeting in that building. And he has a lot of money in his pocket because he has an important meeting. He's got to pay off a debt. And he went onto the roof, and he's stuck on the roof. What does he do? He said, listen, I got a good idea. I'll throw money down. People are going to look at that. They look and see a guy stuck over there. And I'll wave to them. I'll say, I'm stuck over here. Get me out of here. He throws money down.
They're happy to see the money.
They pick up the money, put it in their pocket, and they walk away.
Right.
And he's screaming.
Exactly.
Okay. Another bill. Pick up the money, they walk away. Pick up money and walk away. Finally, he says, I'm running out of money. I can't keep doing this. He looks on the roof. There's some pebbles on the roof. He takes the pebble and throws it down. This time, the guy's screaming at him. Hey, you! Stop throwing the pebbles! I'm going to call the police! He throws another pebble. This time he sees the guy taking out his thing, calling the cops.
That's great.
Well, that's exactly, that's what he wants. Baruch Hashem, he says. He said, look at the difference, right? You be nice to people, you throw money down, they don't even help you. You throw the pebble down, they start asking questions. So that's Hashem exactly. Hashem says, when I throw money down, the guy doesn't even say thank you. Let me throw pebbles at the guy. And I say, what happened, Hashem? What happened to you? What happened? What happened to you? Why you punish me? What did you do? What did I do to you? I just want to wake you up. So sometimes Hashem wants to wake us up. We have to realize that. Sometimes it's a wake-up call that we're not doing enough. But Hashem says, I'll send you little troubles. So you'll say more tehillim to me, and you'll say more tefillot to me, and I want to be in touch with you. No, it's like the parent-child. It's like
right.
The parent-child, right? The father sends his son a check every week. He's in college. He doesn't even answer. So he said, I'm not going to send him a check. That's what happens. All of a sudden, he gets a call from his son. Hey, Dad, how are you doing? How's everything? Where have you been? How's everything okay? I didn't get your check. Yeah, well, when I sent the check, you didn't respond. So I'm trying to wake you up. So here, you're getting some messages. Shema Yisrael, hear O Israel. Who are you talking to? You're talking to me. Now Shema, the word Shema, Shin stands for Shacharit. Mem stands for Mincha. And Ayin stands for
Arvit.
You have to be a Sephardi, I'm sure. That's why it's Arvit. It's the language of the Gemara. Arvit. So Shema is three prayers a day. Shema, Yisrael. Now Yisrael, it's interesting. The word Yisrael has in it all the names of the forefathers and mothers. Yud is Yaakov and Yitzhak. Sin is Sarah. Resh is Rachel and Rivka. Aleph is Abraham. And Lamed is Leah.
Oh, wow.
You have all the letters of the forefathers of mother Israel. So a person's going to say, Shema. I heard you. Shema. Shema Yisrael. Hear, O Israel. Here is, I pray three times a day. Israel, I remember my forefathers and mothers. Hashem. Creator of the world. Don't forget, Hashem is the creator of the world. Hashem is above time. Because the word Yudke Vavke is part of Haya, Hove, Yihyeh. He was, he is, and he will be, which means Hashem is unchanging. Hashem is unchanging. Hashem does not change. And that's the famous question. The children always ask me this question. Who made Hashem? And the answer is, Hashem has no beginning. Hashem was always here. What do you mean Hashem is always here? The kids can't understand that concept of something always being here. Hashem does not change. He was, and he is, and he will be in the same way as he always was. He knows Hashem is unchanging. Hashem is above time. Time does not affect Hashem. So today we don't have this concept. We have the concept of a rock. A rock does not change. So David HaMelech refers to Hashem as his rock. Hashem Tzuri V'Goali, we say in our prayers. Hashem Tzuri, you are my rock and my redeemer, Hashem. You are the rock. Why are you the rock? Because you, number one, is don't change like a rock. Hashem doesn't change like a rock. Number two is, you're as solid as a rock. Imagine, we can't see Hashem. In David HaMelech's eyes, Hashem was as solid as a rock. Just like you lean on the rock and sit on the rock, you can lean against Hashem. He's like a rock. Amazing. Hashem is stability. Hashem is the one constant in our lives. People come, people go. Parents come, people go, unfortunately. Dor holech v'dor ba. Generation goes and generations comes. Who is the one constant in your life? Hashem. Hashem is a constant. You know, and in science, today, if you go learn physics, you'll see there's a constant called G. Have you learned that? G is gravity. It's a constant in gravity. It's a gravitational constant, it's called. But they don't know what gravity is. Property, matter, has gravity. Every piece of matter has gravity. So I say G is God. It's the God constant. In a person's life, there's a constant called G, God. God is the constant. It's like GPS. GPS is God positioning device. In the desert, they had a God GPS, the cloud of glory. The first GPS. Think about it. Was the cloud of glory in the day, and at night it was a pillar of fire. Amazing. And they guided them in the desert. Amazing. Hashem. So God is the person called Hashem Elokeinu. Very comforting. You are God of the creation, and you're also my God. I need you, Hashem. Hashem is here. Wherever you need Hashem, He's there. B'chol koreinu elav. Karov Hashem l'chol korav, we say in Ashrei. Karov Hashem l'chol korav. Hashem is close to those who call out to Him. Hashem Elokeinu. And Hashem is Echad. We believe that God, who's both attributes, the creator and the interferer, He's one. There's only one God. And it's a very important principle of faith, Judaism. Rambam says, the first principle is there's only one God. We only believe in one God. And that's why we cannot accept the Christian belief. Right? One God is the only God. And Echad is very important. The word Echad is very important. The Shulchan Aruch says three things to think about. When you say the word Echad, you have to think about three things. Aleph, one God. Chet, He's the God in the seven heavens and one earth. Chet is number 8. Chet, Gematria 8, right? Right. Remember with me? So Chet stands for seven heavens. He's God in seven heavens. When you say Shema, you got to think about this. He's one God in seven heavens and down here. Dalit, the four corners of the earth. He's God in the four corners of the earth. Oh yeah, I'm telling you now. Oh. Aren't you glad you came today? Baruch Hashem. Now you know there's seven heavens.
I learned a lot today.
There you go. Baruch Atah Adonai. So let's do that again. Let's go through again so everyone has it clear. Shema stands for Shacharit, Mincha, Arvit. Yisrael, the four mothers and three fathers. Yaakov and Yitzchak. Resh, Rivka and Rachel. Sin is Sarah. Aleph is Abraham. Lamed is Leah. You have four mothers and... Hashem, the creator of the world. Hayah, Hoveh, V'yeh. He was, He is, and He will be. Unchanging, above time. Elokeinu, He's my God. Oh, that's fantastic. Hashem is my God. Power of Hashem. If you tap into the power of Hashem, everything's at your feet. Just tap into the power of Hashem. Hashem is unlimited power. Hashem is unlimited energy. Only trouble is, it's limited by how much we can contain. Because we are the containers of this energy. So depending on your container, it depends on how much you can get. So we have to broaden our container. Person's got to broaden their minds, learn more, and this way you broaden your container. Elokeinu, He's my God. Hashem, that God is one. Echad. Echad stands for, Aleph is unity, one. Chet stands for, He's God in the seven heavens and down here. And the Dalet is, He's God in the four corners of the world. So why do we cover our eyes? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, when he said Shema, would cover his eyes. Because we don't want to be distracted. When you say Shema, you don't want to be distracted. You have to cover your eyes when you say that first line. That first line, you have to cover your eyes. And then we say something which is not in the Shema. It's not in the Torah. We say a line which is not in the Torah. Right? We say it quietly. It's not in the Torah. Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto Leolam Va'ed is not in the Torah. Where do you get it from? So there's two sources. One source, they're both Midrashim. One source is, it says, Yaakov Avinu is dying. He wants to know. He asks his kids, do you guys believe in God? And they said, Shema Yisrael, his name is Yisrael. Hear Israel, you, Israel, my father. Hashem, your God is our God. And we believe in one God. So when he heard that, he says, Baruch, Shem, Kevod, Malchuto, Leolam Va'ed. He was so happy, he says, thank God you believe in it. Thank God. We're on the same path. When I die, I know my kids are going on the same path. You know what? That's such a comforting thought. When a person dies, they know their kids are going down the same road that I traveled, my grandfather traveled, my great-grandfather traveled, going down the same road. It's called the road of halacha. Halacha comes from the word halichot, which is walking. We're going down the same path, which is Derech Hashem, the path of God. We're going down the same path. It's very, very comforting to know. When you go, the next generation is going to continue carrying the torch into the future. And that's something we pray for every day. Anachnu v'tzeitzeinu v'tzeitzeitzeinu. We say in the morning prayers, right? In the Birkot HaShachar. We and our children, our children's children. Kulani yodei shemecha, should all know your name. Should all know your name. So Yaakov, you know, so happy, he said Baruch Shem. That's one midrash. Second midrash says, when Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Mount Sinai, he heard the angels praising God. Baruch Shem Kevod Machato Leolam Va'ed. He says, gosh, I'm going to copy that. But the angels will get jealous. So whisper it. When you say it, whisper it. We don't want the angels to hear. However, on Yom Kippur, when we're all like angels, we say it loud. That's why on Yom Kippur we say it loud. So according to the second Midrash, that's the reason why we say Baruch Shem loud on Yom Kippur. Because in Yom Kippur we are like angels. Right? Which of course we're not eating and drinking, so we're like angels. And then we have V'ahavta Ad Hashem L'kach. So all the big mitzvot are really in the Shema. The major mitzvot are in the Shema. So that's what Rabbi Yossi says. We're on chapter 2, Mishnah 12. And here Rabbi Yossi, no, sorry, this is Rabbi, chapter two, Mishnah 13. Rabbi Shimon says, Heve Zahir B'kriyat Shema. Be very careful when you say Shema. So trying to explain why you have to be so careful about Shema. So we said the whole Shema has 248 words. Why? Corresponding to your 248 limbs in a human body. 248 bones in a human body. And corresponds to 248 positive mitzvot. Right? So 248 is a very important number. And he says, be careful when you say Shema, especially that first line is so powerful. That first line is so powerful. Anytime you're in distress, say Shema. It says the merit of Shema can save lives. People don't realize. I know.
248
limbs. Limbs.
In
the whole Shema.
The whole Shema. But you can't all say three the paragraphs whole. Plus.
You can't say the whole Shema more than once. Okay. You know, the twice a day. Not allowed to say.
You can say the Shema as many times as you want. We say, except you can't say the first line one after the other. You can't say Hashem is one 20 times. It's like 20. Right. So you can see, I've said the whole paragraph. Three paragraphs. And then you can repeat it again. Keep on repeating it.
The first line.
Including the first line. When you say all three paragraphs, you can include the first line.
More than once.
Yes, if it's three paragraphs, because there's like such a break in between.
Can you say just the first?
And the Shulchan says, if you can't sleep, don't count sheep. Just say the Shema again. The Shulchan says. He says, if you can't sleep, say the Shema again and again and again. Don't worry, you definitely go to sleep. For sure, yes. Yes, you can.
Sometimes I don't have time in the morning to say all three paragraphs, so I just say the first one.
Women do not have to say Shema. You know that?
No.
Why? It's a positive mitzvah which depends on time. And therefore women are patur, but it's good. I'm not saying you shouldn't say it, you have to say it. Why? Because it has this idea of God is one, unity of God, so you should say it. But you don't have no obligation to say the whole thing. So you can say the whole paragraph. But it's better to say the whole thing because you have 248. 248 powers, energies going into your bones. Fantastic.
Is it okay to say it in English?
Yes. But it's got to be a good translation, and the translations we have are not good.
So none of them are any good?
No. Unless you have to know what it says. Shema Yisrael Hashem. How does it translate? Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. So a lot is lost in translation, but listen, what can you do? So no, the question is, what is the word Shema? Shema does not mean to hear.
Listen.
What does it mean?
Listen.
Understand. So if I say the Shema 50 times and I don't understand what I'm saying, I don't fulfill the obligation. I have to understand it. Shema does not mean to listen. The Gemara has a whole discussion about this. There's two different opinions. One opinion says if you don't hear your own words, you don't fulfill the obligation. And the other opinion says, no, if you hear your own words and you don't understand what you're saying, you don't fulfill the obligation. That's halakha. Halakha is, it doesn't matter how loud you're saying it, if you don't understand what you're saying. So it's very important to say it in English, but you've got to know that the Shema does not mean to hear. Shema means listen, which means to understand.
So if you're reading it in English, but it's a bad translation,
yeah, mm-hmm,
it's not so good. And if you read it in Hebrew and you don't understand Hebrew,
that's
it's pointless.
Very good.
So what do you do?
You come to class. You come to class or you get a good commentary. Read a good commentary.
So if you say the three paragraphs and then the end it goes, it is true, you're supposed to go into the Shemona Esrei right after that. Now, someone had told me once that if you're not going to go into the Shemona Esrei, then you shouldn't say the three. Is that true?
No, not true. Those last three words, it depends. If you're with a minyan, you can repeat those last three words. If you're not with a minyan, you should add Kel Melech Ne'eman before.
You don't
repeat those three words.
And you don't have to what?
Repeat those last three words of the Shema.
And then you don't.
So you need 248. So there's 245 words in the Shema. So what we do is repeat the last three words to make up the 248, mm-hmm, or you add three words at the beginning. Yeah, that's the reason we add those three words.
Yeah.
It's good, it's good, it's good. We want God's power to fill the world. That's in the bracha. Shekocho v'rato male olam. It's good, it's good. Rabbi Shimon says, so be very careful with Kriyat Shema and be very careful with Tefillah. Now people don't realize Shema is not a prayer. Shema is an affirmation of belief. You're not asking for anything. You're just repeating the basic beliefs of Judaism. The Shema is the basic beliefs and main commandments. For example, the mitzvah of learning Torah is in the Shema. V'limadetem otam et benechem ledaber bam. You will teach your children to speak in it, in these words. It's a mitzvah to teach Torah, which is the mitzvah in the Shema, right? The mitzvah of tefillin, the mitzvah of mezuzah. The man yibui mechem, people don't realize. You have a mezuzah on your door, you're going to have a long life. It says explicit in the Shema. And that's how the Gemara learns out that women have to put a mezuzah. How? Well, they don't need life. Everyone needs life. Mezuzah gives you long life. Just make sure your mezuzah is kosher. People have mezuzah on their door, but unfortunately, a lot of them are not kosher. You know, there's a joke. This guy, he bought a brand new house, 25 rooms. He bought 25 mezuzot. Can you imagine? I asked someone, he says, would you like a house like this? He said, I couldn't even afford the mezuzot. So 25 mezuzot, and he gave it. He says, the guy painting his house, he said, here, it's 25, I want you to put them up on the door. He showed him where to put it. And the guy comes back 2 weeks later, and he says, no, you did everything. He says, yeah, sure. I even put the boxes on the door. But I didn't need the instructions. I threw away the instructions.
Ay, ay, ay.
That's a joke. But it just shows a lot of people think that the box is the mezuzah. It's not.
The inside.
The inside is the mezuzah. The box does not count. You don't need a box. You just need that mezuzah stuck onto the doorpost. So it's unfortunate. I had a guy come to my house. Remember Trio over here?
Yes.
So he bought a mezuzah from Trio. He came, Rabbi, can you check my mezuzah? I says, yeah. It's not good. He goes, gets another one. Rabbi, check mezuzah. It's no good. Get it. Check, he brings another one. No good. He said, okay. He didn't come back again. I said, what happened to you? He says, I went to the conservative rabbi. He says, they're fine.
You went to the one?
Business. When it comes to business and money.
Oh, Rabbi, I recently had all my mezuzahs checked. So if anybody needs the phone number of somebody very...
Did he find any bad ones? Did he find any bad ones?
He said... Changed some, but mostly they were fine.
Good. It's very important to check your mezuzah because the main is a very big mitzvah. And if you have trouble, long life, it tells you problem, long life. But if your mezuzah is not good. I checked my mezuzot and he found a few words missing. Now you've got to realize that when you have mezuzah outside, the water can go inside.
Yeah, I did have that one. Yeah.
So that's the trouble. When they're outside.
The little ones, they can't.
And the little ones also, they're not written properly.
They break.
The letters break.
True. I don't replace all. because they were all broken in the same place.
Okay, let's move on. So, be careful with tefillah. So we just said, number one is the Shema is not a tefillah. The Shema is not a prayer. The Shema is an affirmation of faith. The Shema gives us the rules and the regulations. However, tefillah is... What is tefillah? What do you mean by prayer? There are three different parts to prayer. What are the three parts of prayer? Number one, Shevach. Praises of God. We start the Shemoneh Esrei with three blessings of praise. Praise are you, God. What are the praises of God? We just heard one of the praises of God. One of the praises of God is rain. Amazing. Givurot Geshamim, the rabbis say, the power of rain, the power of rain, the power of thunder, lightning, and rain, rain. The rain that we need so preciously in Israel, we need so much rain. There's such a shortage of water in Israel. People don't realize. Thank God for desalination, but it's not good because now they have to desalinate water to pump into the Kinneret. Can you imagine? Right. The Kinneret is going to lose its fresh water. Why? It's going to turn salty. There's not enough water to keep it fresh. So now they got to desalinate the water to pump it into its Kinneret. It's amazing. Wild. There's not enough rain. We need rain. Got to pray for rain. We pray for rain in Shemot Esrei. Think, Hashem, rain in Israel. We need rain in Israel. So the Shemot Esrei starts off with praises. The first three blessings are praises of God. And then the middle blessings, what we always think about a prayer, is asking for things. Right? 13 blessings every day, asking for different things. We're asking for health, we're asking for wealth, and we're asking for security, and we're asking for Mashiach, we're asking for Yerushalayim, we're asking for all kinds of things you could ever think of. 13 different things. When people think of prayer, that's what they think of. I need this, and I need this, and I need this. That's part of prayer. But don't forget to praise God as well. That's also part of prayer. That's the part people forget. And the last three are thanks. So you have a sandwich over here. The Shemoneh Esrei is a sandwich. Three prayers for praise. 13 prayers of petition, and 3 prayers at the end, which are thanks. Don't forget to thank. Right? Very important to thank Hashem. So when we say, Modim anachnu lach, we're saying, thank you, Hashem. Modeh ani lefanecha, thank you, Hashem. Modim is thank you. Ucha nai leodot, thank you. We owe you thanks, Hashem.
Thanks, Hashem.
Thank you. Exactly.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Thank you. So prayer is a person going to be very careful. Look what he says. He says, pray. Be very careful when you pray. Be very careful when you say Shema. The person's going to say it with purity and holiness. Very, very careful. And you cannot see nakedness when you're saying Shema. Like, say, you have a TV over there and there's all kinds of pictures on there. You can't. You have to close your eyes and say Shema and pray. You can't. In a place where there's other pictures around, you can't. You can't. You can't. In fact, it's not even good to have, say, a picture of a rabbi on a siddur. Because when you bow, you're not allowed to bow facing a picture. Same thing in your room. Make sure when you have a room when you pray, there's no pictures on the walls facing you when you bow. You can't bow facing a mirror. It looks like you're a fat man. So it's very important. So when you pray, to know these laws of cleanliness and purity and holiness has got to be in the same place. And Kshiatamit Paleli says, Al Taseh Tefilat Keva. This is the hardest thing for our generation. Tefilat HaKeva. Don't make your prayer something which is fixed. What does that mean? Fixed. Don't make it a rote. Don't make it a habit. That's a trouble. It's so hard. Because the thing is, we pray 3 times a day. It becomes like a rote. It becomes like a machine. It becomes like a Barrett. And it's so hard to keep those prayers fresh. How do you keep something you do every day? It's like a spouse. How do you keep your relationship fresh all the time? So the joke is, they ask this guy, he says, you're married for 60 years. How do you keep your relationship fresh? He said, we used to go out twice a week. I used to go on Tuesdays, she went on Thursdays. So you got to keep your relationship fresh. How do we keep our relationship with Hashem fresh? And the answer is, we have to appreciate what we have. Every day we have to appreciate something new. That's amazing, huh? See, Hashem can put up for the machine. It's amazing. Hashem should put off the machine in Gaza. That's why you should put off those machines over there. Okay, so Hashem says, be careful. When you pray in a way, there's always something fresh in the prayer. Always ask for something new in the prayer. Always make it like a new prayer. How do you do that? So So I've heard different techniques. Number one is when you pray, it's a very important technique of staying with your attention on the prayer. And that is put your finger on the place. When your finger is on a place, your eyes follow it and your mind is there. When your finger is not on the place, you're all over the place. Number two, the Vilna Gaon says he always prayed with a prayer book. Now obviously he knew all the prayers by heart. Vilna Gaon, he knew all the prayers by heart. He always prayed with a siddur. And he always put his finger on the place. And this way, your mind follows your finger. It's amazing. It's very powerful. When I pray without my finger on the place, it's a different prayer. When you pray with the finger on your place, you're focused. That's number two. Number three is try and understand what you're saying. Try and focus on the meaning of what you're saying. But it's very important to focus on the meaning of the place. So that's why sometimes I get a book which has both the Hebrew and the English. So you're praying in Hebrew, you can look at the English as well. Unless your mind works in Hebrew. If you're an Israeli, your mind works in Hebrew. That's why it's so hard for Israelis to pray. You know why it's so hard for them to pray? Because they know what they're saying. Uh-huh. It's hard to say it. Because these words are words where you're actually acknowledging Hashem as the boss. So a person doesn't really believe in it, they can't go for it. But if a person doesn't believe in it and you don't understand it, no problem. If a person believes in it, then it's very hard, very easy. But if a person doesn't believe in it, it's very hard to say those words. So for an Israeli, it's hard to pray. It's easier and harder. It's easier because they know the language, and it's harder because then you have to really believe in what you're saying. Otherwise, it's the whole, you know. So, but for Chutznikim, for those who live outside Israel, it's much harder to pray because you don't understand the words. But when you do, it's harder to pray because then you have to really believe what you're saying. So don't make your prayer as a fixed burden. Don't make it like a fixed burden in a sense. It's a burden. I got to pray. I get it out of the way. It's so hard not to do that. So suppose it's push for time. Okay, I'll stop for mincha, but it's got to be like a whiz. We've got to whiz through it because I got no time and it's a burden I got to get out of the way. The Gemara says a story. It's a true story. The Gemara says there was a Jew praying. And in those days, you're walking down the road. Yeah, you're walking from place to place. There's no minyan. There's no shul. You pray on the road. So you go on the side of the road, like today. You park on the side of the turnpike. You go into the rest stop and pray over there. That's what you can do. So the Jew over there praying by the side of the road, a Roman soldier, captain, a boss, captain, says hi to the Jew. It's like a big thing for a Roman to say hi to a Jew in those days. It was like a big thing. The Jew does not respond.
He's praying.
So I'm going to kill this Jew.
I'm going to
wait till he finishes what he's doing and then I'll kill him. So he waits, which is very nice. Normally they didn't wait. He's waiting for him to finish. The Jew finishes, goes back three steps. He says, yes, captain, I'm sorry I didn't answer you. He said, you better have a good reason why, because I'm going to kill you otherwise. He says, let me pacify you 1 second, slowly. Take time. If the king calls you and someone else calls you, who do you respond to? The king, of course. And if you're talking to the king and someone else says, hi, how are you doing? Would you answer him? He says, of course not. The king will kill me. Well, I was just talking to my king right now. So the captain says, oh, you're talking to your king. Okay, I can understand. Now I can understand. That's what we're doing. We don't understand. When we're talking to Hashem, we have to really imagine Hashem is listening to us. People don't. You have to put your imagination that really Hashem is there. We're listening to you. When you're saying Shemoneh Esrei, Hashem is actually there. He's right in front of you, listening to you. So that's why it says, when a person prays, make sure you know what you're going to say. Prepare. Because when you go for a meeting for an important person, you have to know what you're going to ask for. Otherwise you're going to be wasting your time. So a person should prepare before they pray a list of things they need. Usually you don't even have to pray. It's in your head. This is what I need today. This is what I need. I need. All our needs should go, Hashem, you, this is all my needs. Hashem, you look after me. Please, Hashem. So that simple faith that Hashem looks after a person, that faith is very precious in God's eyes. A person has faith in Hashem. Hashem will look after them. Hashem wants that faith. That faith in Hashem is a very big, big mitzvah of emunah. A big mitzvah of trust in God and faith in God. That when a person prays, they show. So therefore, a person should not make their prayer like a habit, a rote to get out of the way. Make it something with gusto. Yes?
What about divided and personal prayer? Because that's always meaningful, because it's coming from that person. So according to the prescribed prayers are always harder. But if someone does a personal prayer like that, they're connected.
Yes, but you can do both. Right. And that is in the Shema Koleinu, you can ask for whatever you want. And that's what you should use. Shema Koleinu as part of your personal prayer. And that's what makes the prayer so powerful. Shema Kolenu, in the middle of Shema Kolenu, you can ask for whatever you want, whatever you need, and then you end up Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Tefillah. Blessed be Hashem who listens to Tefillah. But you're true, you can ask for anything, any time of the day you can pray to God. And a person should, that's where you connect it. Every time you pray to God, you think about Hashem. The Rambam says, when you think about Him, He's with you. When you don't think about Him, you break that connection. Amazing. So it's very important to think about Hashem all through the day.
Hashem is described both as king and as father. So when you're talking to the king, you're talking differently than you're talking to the father. So how do you...
And the answer is, He is your father and your king. So he says, you're the prince. All of us are the children of God. That's where the Christians got it wrong. We're all the children of God. B'nai Yisrael, Hashem says, B'nai Yisrael, B'naihim. You are my children, Hashem says. I'm your father. You're my king and my father. In other words, the king is your father. But what do you want? Boy, that's the greatest relationship you can have. You are the prince. You're the princess. That's all Jewish American princesses, right? Because he's the king and you're the princess and I'm the prince.
But you relate differently to a king than you do to a father.
If he's your king, his father?
Then the part would be...
Daddy, you're my father. I know you're the king as well, but you're my father as well. It has to be a different relationship.
Okay, but my point is that it would be a much more informal communication if I think of talking to my father.
100%. And that's how we started the Shmona Esrei. It's very informal. Baruch Atah Hashem. We start off with the introduction that you are Hashem. Not only are you Hashem, my God, you are the God of my forefathers. Which is very critical. Why? That's our intro to God. Our intro to God is God. It's not just me and you, because who am I? But don't forget our forefathers. Don't forget our mothers and our fathers who had a relationship with you and you loved them more than anyone else in the world. Because that's our intro to you. In other words, I know you already. I know you through... What do you call it? Quickly, put the word in my mouth. I have a referral from my father, grandfather. Here's Abraham Avinu to give me a referral. Yitzhak Avinu, you had relations with them. I have a referral from my forefathers. So we're not coming just out of the blue. We're coming from a long line of people who had a relationship with you. And that's our referral to Hashem as the king. And they were your friends. And you had a special relationship with them. And we're trying to pick up that relationship. So it's important not to make the prayer into a rote. It's so hard. I tell you, that's so hard. It's so hard. So 3 times a day. You're praying 3 times a day. A woman doesn't have to pray 3 times a day. Ashkenazim, they say yes, but Sephardim say once a day. A woman should pray once a day with the Sephardim. And you can pray whichever prayer you come, which comes better for you. You have more time in the afternoon, pray Minchawel. Pick one prayer. But make sure it's not like a rote. It's exciting. Make it exciting. El Rachamim, you're asking for mercy. Tachanunim, and you're pleading before God. You're pleading before God. It's a pleading before God.
Actually, Ashkenazim also say
it's
once.
Once? Good.
That's what Rabbi Mirzak.
Very good. Rambam says once.
Once a day.
Once a day. Rabbi Mirzak says supposed to be the Amida.
Yeah, the Amida, once a day.
Doesn't have to be Mincha, it could be any prayer.
It can be any prayer you like, which makes sense for you.
You also said that you could talk.
You can talk to God any time of the day. Any time of day. Hashem is 24/7. His lights do not go off. Hashem's lights don't go off. Okay, anyway, so let's continue. So, okay, so Amida is very important. It's once a day. That is the tefillah. When you talk about tefillah, the Shmona Esrei is the tefillah. That is the tefillah. That is prayer. So a person should pray asking for mercy. A person should pray pleading to God for favor. And okay. And then he says something out of the blue. Right, well, nothing to do with prayer. Va'al tihi rasha b'fnei atzmecha. And don't be evil in front of yourself.
Don't think of yourself as evil. No?
Don't separate from the community. Don't be a Rasha and separate from the community. That's the commentary says over here. Don't be b'fnei atzmecha. Don't just be by yourself. Don't be evil and just stay by yourself. Because when you're praying, try and go with the community. Pray with the community and don't stay by yourself. It's very important to have community because that's what leads to assimilation. A person breaks away from community, it leads to assimilation. People don't realize that. We need the community more than the community needs us. Well, in my case over here, we need everyone. We need every single person we can get. We need every Jew we can get. Why? It's a small community. But communities need people, but we have to, person's got to think. Just like they need me, I need them more. Why? Because if we're not affiliated to a community, our children have no one to mix with. They assimilate. They assimilate very fast. And that's what he says. Don't be a rasha. Bifnei atzmecha. Don't be by yourself. A rasha is a person who doesn't cling to the community. He's all by himself.
She mentioned Rabbi Meir Danner, who's my rabbi. And he also said that the tefillah, Aleinu
L'shem. Oh, very important. Very, very important.
It's the only tefillah that comes at the end of every...
Yes.
End of Shacharit.
Thank you so much for reminding me, because I missed out one thing on the Shema. In the Shema, in the Torah, it's written with a big ayin, Shema, Shin Mem, ayin. The ayin is big. Mm-hmm. And Echad is mentioned with a big dalet. Mm-hmm. It's meant to be four times a regular dalet. So imagine, ayin, big dalet, stands for Ed, witness. Uh-huh. The Shema is a witness that I believe in one God. When I say Shema, I'm giving witness, like his testimony. It's a testimony that you believe in one God. And Aleinu L'Shabbat, that's the connection. It starts off, the first paragraph starts with an ayin, and ends with a dalet. And the second paragraph starts with an ayin and ends with a dalet. Ben Ishchai says a beautiful thing. He says, who's giving testimony that you prayed that day? Who gives testimony you prayed? Aleinu Shabbeach is your testimony. You are creating a witness when you say Aleinu Shabbeach. You create two witnesses. Ayin dalet, witness. And really you have a third witness, which is in the Shema as well. So you have three witnesses. So Hashem says, who's the witness that you prayed? Huh? Aleinu Shabbeach is my witness. I got two witnesses. I got a witness also in Shema. So we have witnesses all over. These are witnesses that will stand us when we're in trouble. People don't realize these things we're creating angels. When we pray, every word is a separate angel. You create an angel, a defending angel. We're going to see that's a Mishnah. A person does an Avira, they create prosecuting angels. Bar Minan. A person does a Mitzvah, you create defending angels. Every word of prayer is a defending angel. Imagine, you go to Shemaim. Now, trouble is, and this is my rabbi in England, he would tell me this parable. He would say, some angels we create are in coma. Because we have no concentration. A person prays with no concentration. It says that tefillah bli kavana is kamo guf bli neshama. It's like a body without a soul. The soul of our prayers are our intentions. And usually what happens is, a person prays, but there's no intention behind it. So it's like a dead tefillah. So the angel you create, you go to Shemaim, you see the guy, he's on life support. So what happened? He didn't give me a soul. Why? Because you didn't have kavanah when you prayed. So it's not just praying and saying the words. We have to put the intentions, the thoughts behind it. And the thoughts behind it give the prayers life. You have to understand. The Chovat Levavot gives a parable. He says a person, the king is going to visit someone. He says, I'm going to come and visit your house on the 13th of April. And the guy says, I'm going to go on a business trip. He tells his kids, you take over, I've got to go on business trip. When the king comes, say, my apologies, and we're gonna host you, king, our father couldn't be here. So the king comes, and the king goes crazy. Where is this man? No excuses. He's really mad with the guy. So the same thing when we pray, and our thoughts are not inside it. Hashem says, where are you? Your body's here, where's your soul? You're not here. So your mind is not here. It's like a body without a soul. So we create prayers which are like a bodies without souls.
Excuse me, you said you could say Shema several times a day.
Yes.
What about Aleinu
then? Aleinu also, you can say many times.
Just like
that. Anytime you want. Anytime you feel like it, pick it up. It's a very, very powerful prayer of emunah, of faith. It's a very powerful prayer of faith. Okay, now we come to a very famous Mishnah. This is Rabbi Tarfon. Okay, this is Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon was a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Tarfon is mentioned in the Haggadah. All the rabbis in Bnei Brak, right? Maaseh, right? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon, all the other great rabbis, Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Tarfon was one of them, Rabbi Tarfon. So he was a very great rabbi, Rabbi Akiva. And what is he gives this parable? Hayom Katzar. The day is short. Day is short. What is a day? What does a day mean? Life. Our lives are like one day. A day passes, one day passes, one day passes, one day passes. The whole life becomes like a day. Imagine a person looks back over their life. It's like, what happened? I was a kid. I was a kid in school. I hated school, by the way. A kid in school. I went to college. I went to yeshiva. got married and children, da 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 da, grandchildren, da 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 da, and their life just goes phew, gone. Like one day. Our lives we think is very long, but it's really short. It's a blip in human history. Our lives are just a blip. That's what Rabbi Tarfon is reminding us. Hayom katzar. Your life is short. You know, my grandfather would tell my father. My father tells me, he would tell me. My father liked to sleep late. And my grandfather would wake him up and say, my son, he says, one day there'll be plenty of time to sleep. That's what we'd be doing, sleeping all the time. So don't waste your time, because one day there'll be plenty. You know, people waste their time. We just waste so much time. Says the Vilna Gaon, when he died, he cried for the seconds that he wasted. Halavai, we had those trials. He cried for all the seconds of his life he wasted. Mention, gosh. And we count the minutes we waste every single day. It's just such a terrible waste of time. So every day, Hashem gives us a gift. 84,600 seconds of life. Imagine, 84,600 seconds of life every 24 hours. You get 84,600 seconds. Hashem says, what do you do with those 84,600 seconds? So Midrash breaks it down for us. Thank God for the Midrash. The Midrash says, well, Hashem, listen. I had to sleep. That's 8 hours, right, God? Right? Had to eat. That's already 3 hours, right? And I had to go to the bathroom. That's another, I don't know how many hours spent in the bathroom. And I had to do this and I had to do that. Get excuses, right? Okay, but what about the extra? What about the 2 hours you had left in the time? Then you got to give the accounting. Those accounting is on what's left over. Whatever you didn't have to do, had to run errands, had to go shopping, okay. What about the rest of the time? What do you do with that? But I said Shema, I said Tefillah. Oh, Tzaddik. You have to give an accounting. Hayom Katzar, he says. Our lives are short. HaMelacha Merubah, and the service of Hashem is endless. For a man especially, there's so much Torah to learn. Just endless. The Torah is endless. The Torah is endless. Don't worry. The Torah is endless. And the workers, that's us, are lazy. Imagine. Have you ever had a contractor work for you? Oh boy. It's a pain in the so-and-so. Why? Because he has his own schedule and you have your schedule. Right. Your schedule is to get it done as soon as possible. His schedule is, drag it out. So the workers are lazy. But we are the lazy. We don't really realize. And we have to realize also, the next word is the best. Hasachar harbe, there's lots of reward. There's so much reward a person can obtain if you don't waste time. You just keep on gunging ho. You gun ho. I want to do another mitzvah, another mitzvah, another mitzvah, another mitzvah. A person has an appetite for mitzvah. You got to run after mitzvah. Heveza here, mitzvah kalaki bahamura. A person's got to run after a small mitzvah like a big mitzvah. He says, don't waste time. Can you imagine? It's so easy to do a mitzvah. Why? You just smile at someone. You smile at someone, you make their day. You make someone happy. It's chesed. It's so easy to do chesed. Women are busy. That's their life. A life of a woman is chesed. She does chesed with her husband, chesed with her children, chesed with her grandchildren, chesed all the time. Chesed on the mind. A woman's mind is pure. She's all thinking about chesed all the time. What am I going to do for this? What am I going to cook for lunch? What am I going to cook for dinner? And wash the clothes. All chesed. It's all chesed. But think about chesed. And think about how I can improve my chesed. And that's how you improve the reward. The owner of the house is pushing her. Do more, do more, do more. And the workers are lazy. Is enough. I did enough mitzvot today. You know, I'll take a break. I'm gonna watch a video. I'm gonna do other things.
Can't hear you.
I know. I'm running out of steam. But we can press the button. So thank you all for coming, and I hope you enjoy.
You,
hope you enjoy your vacation from me. I'm back on the 28th of August. I'll be here for another 10 days. Thank you so much.
And then we'll
7 years. And,
yes, we have finished carrying on.
So you're going. What do you say? His neshama should have. And this is, you're going to Israel, safe trip, a safe return.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm going to say the Shema and the Shema Esrei.
You can say Shema and Shema Esrei, yeah.
Do I say that?
am in front where I say it is true. Like, what did those three words?
Yeah, just say the words in front.
And don't say it is true because I'm not with a minion.
Don't repeat it.
Right. Okay. All right. So if I'm just saying the first paragraph, you're saying this. Sometimes I just say the first paragraph.
Okay. Is there a class next week?
No, Tisha B'Av.
That's right.
We're going to have videos at 6 o'clock. Ladies, 6 o'clock next week, next Sunday, there's going to be videos over here about the forerunners of the Holocaust. 6 o'clock, very, very fascinating, and the liberators of the camps. It's not going to be too gory. 6 o'clock next week over here, there's going to be videos. It's next door. During the day, it's morning. We're morning. You can't sit on the chair till 1 o'clock. You can't sit on a chair.
Can't sit on a chair, right?
So 6 o'clock next Sunday, 6 o'clock. Very, very beautiful videos. Very, very moving videos. Huh? The liberators of the Auschwitz. The liberators. Eisenhower. Amazing, amazing.
Rabbi, can we go this way to the parking? Safe trip, you and your family.
Monday, yes, 8 o'clock.
Okay, that's the meditation.
No, we finished meditation. We're doing something else, but it's very interesting. Come. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock.
Yes. When you were talking about davening by rote, it reminded me of the Shir Rabbi Luca gave like 20 years ago, because he said once he had a baby that died of SIDS, and he told the whole Shir, so it's not anything private I'm talking about. He told the ladies, and he says, "You ladies won't like this, but the Jewish response to a tragedy is to look into yourself." And he said that's what he did when his son died. He looked into himself and he decided he wasn't davening. He was davening by rote, and he stopped it. That was his looking into himself. And he was smart. He said, "I know you ladies would like this, that you blend." Not blaming the victim, but he knew what our thoughts would be, but he tempered it. So that was by rote.
How's he down? He's still around?
He's Rabbi Emeritus, but he can't stop. He's still active. Organ donation.
Good, fantastic. Yeah. Maybe I'll take care of it.
Oh, okay, I just don't know how to do it.
Yeah, leave it. Sorry. Yeah. Don't worry.
She asked because I look like I know how to do it, but I don't know.
What?
But anything.